May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Six 30 this morning, outside our front door, war broke out. There was such a racket being made by the crows and the gulls that at first I thought that they were at war with each other. But no, there in the middle of the road was an injured magpie being stalked by our neighbour's black cat. It all ended well, at least for the time being. The coalition of birds saw off the aggressor, and the magpie was able to get away and hopefully recover. I hope that's as close as war will come to Horsham. But then we are just round the corner from the nature reserve. but with the world as it is, you never know, do you? The news these days seems to be about 90% bad news. Thank goodness for the medals at the games. But compare that with the Gospel of St. Mark. Majority of this year's Gospels come from St. Mark's Gospel. And St. Mark entitles his book, The Good News About Jesus Christ. And he is true to his word. Less than 10% of his Gospel is about wars and apocalypses. So may I be forgiven for not spending more than these opening remarks on bad news and bring you good news instead. The risen Lord Jesus is here among us. He has come to save us. He has come to set us free from our old nature and to transform us, to give us a new nature more like his. And how exactly will he do this? I will tell you the story of the Mask of Beauty. Like many an old fairy tale, this story is an allegory of human life. There are a number of possible approaches to human imperfection. One approach that can disarm us is the approach that says, I blame the parents. Or I blame the society that this person's grown up in, and so on. The problem with such an approach is that it isn't the cure. It gives an explanation, but little hope. The allegory or parable of the Mask of Beauty, which I am about to tell you, is a gospel story. It gives us hope for the future and a longing to be the person in the story. It is the story of a sorry person. He was the product of a childhood deprived of the right kind of love and care. The hard knocks he received made him very defensive of himself and his rights. Nobody was going to get the better of him now he was grown up and strong. So he became a callous, heartless person, only caring for his own personal well-being and keeping others in their place by being forceful and opinionated. All that pain, all that hardness was there in his face. He saw it every time he looked in the mirror, and he knew from the way people approached him, or rather mostly avoided him, that others saw his character reflected in his face as well. But one day in the marketplace, he saw someone who was to change his life forever. A young woman about his age was there, and he knew that he was facing his nemesis. What he saw in her face was the opposite of what he saw in his own. Where his heart was closed, hers was open. Where he was selfish, she was generous. He asked people about her and was assured that what you saw was what you got. Just looking at her made you joyful. He wanted to get to know her, to fall in love with her, but he knew that his character was reflected in his face. If he went to talk to her, she would see right away what kind of person he was. He had no chance. And yet, day after day, he went to the marketplace and dreamt his impossible dream. Now, in every town and village in that country, there was a special kind of shop. And although it might look a little old-fashioned, this shop in each town and village always looked neat and tidy and had attractive posters in the window. But the majority of people didn't notice that the shop was there, not, that is, until they needed it. He hadn't really noticed the shop himself before, but now, as he turned from the marketplace, he saw one of the posters in the shop window. It said, "Masks of Beauty. Is this the answer for you?" And he went home, and he thought about it. And the next day he plucked up courage and went into the shop. He didn't know if they really had what he needed, but he was intrigued to find out. Would they chuck him out of the shop for being so stupid? Would they really have what he needed? Well, he plucked up his courage, and in he went. The assistant inside was smiling and welcoming, even though she could see the unpleasant look on the man's face. "I look awful," said the man. "I need you to help me, and I don't know if you can. But in your window it says, 'Masks of Beauty, is this the answer for you? Can you make a mask for me to cover this up so that someone I want to know won't be repelled by me?'" "Think carefully," said the assistant. "It's one thing to put it on, but quite another to take it off again. If you put it on, you may just have to keep it on. Could you bear to do that?" He didn't even have to think, even for a minute. He said right away that if she was able to make the mask for him to wear, he would wear it. His motivation was strong. He would wear it day and night. He ordered a mask that showed a face that was strong and responsible, happy and outgoing, ready to be at the service of others and at peace with himself. Quite different from his real face underneath. But from that moment, he set out to persuade his chosen lady that he really was like that. He was not afraid to approach her now. He courted her and loved her, and finally she consented to be his bride. And just before the wedding, when they were on their own, he confessed to her about the mask. He told her what his real face was like. He told her that she would hate him if she saw it and she knew what he really was like. And her reaction was amazing. "My love," she said, "do you really think I have any illusions about you at all? I love you. I love you for who you are, not for anything that you've put on. I'm not at all afraid to see you as you are, because I know how you really are. Even if you were once ugly and selfish, you have never been like that with me. Take the mask off. Let's have a look." Ooh, could he do it? Could he really reveal his true self and risk everything collapsing around him? Yet he trusted her. And he could always put the mask back on again. He trusted her. He wanted her to know the truth about him, come what may. So he took the mask off and watched for her reaction. Well, she didn't look horrified as he had expected. Not horrified at all. She just looked amazed and puzzled. He didn't know what to say, but in the end she spoke. She said, "I don't understand. I don't understand at all. You didn't need to wear a mask at all. That mask is exactly what you look like. Come and look in the mirror and you'll see." And as he looked in the mirror, he saw and he knew. He knew the power of the mask. Inspired by love, he, in all his wickedness, had changed from the heartless bully into a generous and loving person. Now, it's a lovely old story, that, and it tells the story of a part of the pilgrimage that some of us Christians have travelled. Some of us have begun our pilgrimage with a need, like the need of the man in the story, to give a good impression. We all come with different needs and different motives. Of course we do. And in every town, there is this magic shop, the church, which most people ignore. And there, when you finally go, you put on a special face, more attractive than the one you use at work or in business or maybe even at home. And for many of us, putting on the face of Christ transforms us. Maybe we don't know we are being transformed until somebody points it out to us. But that's how he does it. He transforms us by his love. We repeat year by year the story of his love, the teaching and the healing he brings, the story of his selfless love in going to the cross for us, the power of his resurrection, and the story of his abiding presence with us and on us and in us. Here, week by week, day by day, the church is a witness, by most people ignored, but always here, ready to provide people with the face of Christ and the power of his love to change, to heal, and to save. Amen.